Hello and welcome to Now Playing. This is Brock, James Brock.
And this is Alicia.
And we are here to review Quantum of Solace, the latest James Bond movie starring Daniel Craig, Judi Dench, Jeffrey Wright, a bunch of people we have no idea who they are.
Hey, other people.
And directed by Mark Forster. All right, so up front we should say right away that if you do not want to know anything about this movie, please visit us again after you have seen Quantum of Solace. But we also want to say, if you haven't seen Casino Royale, Daniel Craig's first James Bond movie, you probably should turn this off also, because we're going to spoil the ending straight away. So there you go. You have been warned. Okay, so Quantum of Solace takes place, it looks like, immediately after Casino Royale.
I agree. It seems to be tied in right at the end.
And the plot has us having James Bond going after the people who were responsible for Vesper Lynn's death at the end of Casino Royale. And it turns into that these people are working for an organization that have a big other plot going on the sides with this villain whose name I didn't even catch. Green. Man,
Mr. Green.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
A man named Mr. Green, who has this eco-terrorism plot going on that's kind of confusing. And it all ties together. But mostly it's James Bond seeking revenge, I would say. So I'm going to ask you straight out. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I think I should say up front, though, that I think I'm coming at this from a different perspective than you are. I think you are a big James Bond fan. You know the movies well. You probably know the entire canon. I do not know James Bond movies as well. I am, you know, familiar with the characters and most of the story and all that kind of thing. So I was approaching this as more of an action movie. It's not as important to me that, you know, it's consistent or it's in keeping with the legendary performances of Roger Moore and everything like that in the past. That being said, I liked it a lot. I thought it was a very well done action movie. I thought the performances were good. I thought Daniel Craig was good. I thought Judi Dench is, well, she's always good. She's a dame, Judi Dench.
They don't pass out those dame things lightly.
That is true. I liked it a lot. I thought it was good. There were a few moments. Actually, I should say, speaking of, you did mention Casino Royale. I would recommend for anyone going into this movie, if you would like, might be helpful to check out Casino Royale just to get a little refresher on exactly who the characters are and where each of them end up and everything like that.
Especially the last 20 minutes of Casino Royale.
Exactly. Because obviously I remembered Vesper. I remember that she died at the end of Casino Royale. However, I had no idea who Mr. White was. Didn't remember him at all.
At the end of Casino Royale, James Bond uses a sniper rifle and shoots the guy in the leg after calling him on the cell phone, drops the awesome line, James Bond, name is Bond, James Bond. And then this beginning of this movie, we have James Bond transporting Mr. White to MI6 for, I would guess you would call, debriefing.
I would imagine.
Torture.
Yes.
So, and he also had the wound on his leg.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
There you go, yeah.
I thought he got shot in the car, was the thing. I thought he got shot while he was in the trunk.
Yeah, maybe. But I took that to be the sniper shot that Bond got him at the end of the movie.
Oh,
it would be a nice tie-in. Either way, it works.
Either way,
the guy was hurt. He was in the trunk of a car. So why we bring that up, the trunk of the car, the movie opens up with this amazing car chase sequence. And for me as a James Bond fan, the thing I want a movie to open up with is the white circles, Bond walking through it, shooting the sniper who's trying to shoot him, the gun barrel sequence, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the last movie, Bond did it quickly. They didn't do the whole white circles thing, but they did have Bond shoot the screen. They didn't even do that here at all. The movie just opens up with the action sequence. And that's fine. It's kind of like this movie is part two of Casino Royale. This is the first James Bond movie to be a direct sequel. So I guess what they're doing here is, instead of having a real opening sequence, we're picking up exactly where we left off, and here we go. They did have the credit sequence, which was one of the not-so-great James Bond opening credit sequences I've ever seen.
It was a little on the boring side. And didn't really get me into the spirit of the movie or get me excited about watching the movie. It was just kind of, okay, are the credits over yet so we can get to the movie?
Yeah, because, you know, when you're watching a James Bond movie, for someone like me, you like the gun barrel sequence, you want that. You want the great opening title sequence with a song, whether you like it or not, is up to you. This one was not to my liking. But that is things that you look for in every James Bond movie. The gadgets, the one-liners. And this whole reboot of James Bond, I am so for that because, you know, sometimes James Bond got a little silly. And Casino Royale was so great, so down to earth. This one is exactly the same style. But I would have liked a little bit more of the classic James Bond stuff. This is the second movie with Daniel Craig now.
Well, like the puns and that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't need a lot of puns. I just need one or two. They had one in this movie. I would like maybe a couple of cute lines. Maybe it'll break the tension a little bit. Perhaps have a cool gadget like, I don't know, tear gas in a cuff link or something. Something that's realistic, more realistic than, say, an invisible car. At least something. Some kind of cool Q Branch gadget. Or at least have Q Branch give him a briefcase that has a hidden gun in it or something. Some Q Branch. I don't need a whole sequence with, like, you know, an exploding sandwich.
I can see that.
Okay. But I get what they're doing, and I like that it's more modern and sleek. So that's great. So as a James Bond fan, I'm happy for that. That being said, the opening car chase scene, and I have to say this must be the director or the editor who are to blame for this. I had a lot of trouble following what was going on. I thought the cuts were frequent and too quick, and they would have James. Did he lose a door of the car without me seeing it?
I didn't notice the door being detached from the car, but yes, at the end there is no door.
There's no door, so maybe it was like this chase already in progress. As we join the movie, we join this chase already in progress. So I had a problem with the editing of the scene because you have the cars going down the road, and then you have him check the gear shift, and you see a picture, a real close-up of his eyes, and then you see the car behind him, chasing behind him. Then you see the truck coming at you. Boom, 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 boom. And it was really hard to follow. Oh, how about the chase on the scaffolding at the racetrack when they would intersperse the galloping horses? When they were chasing them through the hallway?
I did think that was really weird, actually. That was a very weird segment with the editing. Why even bother having this big race, this big horse race tied together with this
other chase?
It didn't make sense because they didn't end up coming together is the thing. I thought maybe if somehow there was some part of the evil plot was going to happen at the horse race or something like that, that would have made sense.
Well, I think the horse races were the backdrop for the chase, but when they intercut the horse race from them chasing each other, you would think that they were trying to make a correlation between the horses and the race.
Yeah.
They just dropped it when they get to the scaffolding. And I found that very distracting. So for me, the action sequences across the board were terribly hard to follow what was going on.
But what I did appreciate, actually, about the action sequence is they were much more physical than movies of the past. It was less about just, you know, shooting and being mysterious and skulking in the corners and that kind of thing. And it was much more physical, a lot more running, jumping, actual, I guess, hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, exactly. And what's really great is this Bond gets hurt. Mm-hmm. I think Daniel Craig came out of every fight bleeding.
That's true.
Which is really kind of neat.
I think he's might be one of the few times I've actually seen James Bond with, you know, scars.
Yeah, he actually had scars on his chest. Very good. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't going through all my shirtless Bond moments in my head if I can remember any, and I can't. But and I'm sure you didn't mind that all that much.
I did not mind. I did not mind Daniel Craig in no shirt. I must say.
Okay, then.
I think that his talents are very well developed.
I think it's completely obvious that this series was rebooted because of the Bourne series. Mm-hmm. And there was one fight in the hotel room, I think, that was straight out of that great Bourne with the magazine, beating the guy with the magazine.
That was
sequence.
A fabulous scene.
Right. So that kind of reminded me of that as well. So while I enjoy that bringing it more into the Bourne realistic sort of spy movie, that would have been a great opportunity for him to actually have spikes pop out of his belt and take the villain down, you know, at the last minute and say, I stuck it to you or something. I don't know. So what
he's doing a Sean Connery impersonation in the movie. I don't understand.
I stuck it to you. That is the world's worst Sean Connery impression. So that's my thing on the editing. Although the action sequences were quite good in the last one on that building, which I still don't understand exactly what kind of building that was. But you know what? Maybe if you see the movie yourself.
Where the bad guys were
in this incredibly convenient exploding building. Maybe you can figure out exactly what was going on.
That is something I would say about the plot in general. It might have been the script more than the actual plot. The movie takes place in many countries over the entire world, and I kind of didn't really understand why they had to go to each of these countries. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just dense, but...
I don't think you're dense.
But I mean, I accepted it, and it was done realistically enough, I guess, and it was well done enough that I just accepted, okay, now they're in Bolivia. Okay, and now they're in Russia. And
now
everything.
They're in Italy.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree with you. I thought the plot was a little bit hard to follow, but I didn't really care. Because
exactly.
I was able to follow the action enough, I didn't understand the grandiose plot of the villain, but I did understand that he had to be in those different places because that's what the movie said. So what did you think of the villain?
He was a little
Mr.
Green.
Yeah.
Mr. Green. He was a little unimpressive, I have to say. He didn't seem nearly as sort of mysterious and diabolical and evil as a lot of the other Bond villains have been. But on the other hand, I mean, I guess that sort of ties into the entire thing with it being more realistic and less of a caricature.
Yes, but Le Chiffre in Casino Royale cried blood. That's a kind of a cool, subtle James Bond thing. But he's still a realistic villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But as compared to the guy in The World Is Not Enough, who can't feel any pain. You hit him, he can't feel pain at all because of the bullet lodged in his brain. That's kind of weird. But, you know, the old-fashioned James Bond villains want to take over the world. This guy wants to start some sort of evil eco-terrorism drought thing. I don't really know what's going on.
So that he can make money off of...
How is he going to make money off deserts? I don't know.
You know what?
Obviously, I think the plot of the villain and the major plot of this movie takes a backseat to James Bond dealing with Vesper Lynn's death.
Exactly.
And the revenge plot. And I felt, if you're going to deal with a revenge plot, this is the way to do it. You don't want him turning into the James Bond in License to Kill when the whole thing is just about getting the guy who killed my friend. This is more about it's more, I'm able to buy it more.
Yeah.
But instead of Bond taking these guys in for questioning, he just kills them.
Exactly. And it worked.
And it worked fine. So last thing I want to cover is, what did you think of the title?
Yeah, I still have no idea what the Quantum of Solace is.
What? That wasn't clear in the movie?
Not at all. It was not in no way, shape, or form is the title of the movie explained.
Is the word solace even said?
I don't believe so. I think I did hear the word quantum one time.
I thought so too. Yeah.
I might have.
I don't know how.
But I think that would take like some very in-depth analysis to be able to figure out what that meant.
I do know this, that Quantum of Solace is a James Bond short story that Ian Fleming actually wrote. So that's where they got the title from.
Okay. It's still completely not applicable to the movie. I mean, at least... At least other movies with ridiculous titles, at least, for example, Octopussy. At least you understand why the movie's called Octopussy. I have no idea why this movie was called The Quantum of Solace. One of the worst James Bond movie titles, I would say, ever.
That sums that up. I have nothing to add. So I guess we're at the point where, do you recommend this?
Yes. Yes, I do. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a great time.
Okay, as an action movie, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty good, and I will recommend it. I've already said my piece on the action sequences. As a James Bond movie, it's not a great James Bond movie, but it's better than others. So so I will give it, overall, I give it a weak recommendation, but I do recommend it. And speaking of recommending, I want to take this opportunity to say, if you are interested in James Bond, there are a couple of things I want to recommend to you that you might want to check out. The first thing is another James Bond movie. If you're looking to watch James Bond movies that you might have missed, I'm thinking perhaps you might want to watch The Living Daylights, 1987 Timothy Dalton movie. Have you seen this one?
I have not seen it, no.
Timothy Dalton's first James Bond movie. And why I'm recommending this is because, A, it's a great James Bond movie. It has a really good plot. You know, it has, you know, not a weak villain, but it has, you know, the gizmos and it has the one-liners, but not so much that it's annoying. And his portrayal of James Bond was really not accepted in 1987. It was very intense, much more like the original character in the books, according to some. And Daniel Craig brought this intensity back to it, whereas Pierce Brosnan kind of balanced out the Roger Moore, Sean Connery intensity and the flippant jokes. Timothy Dalton brought in this intense, realistic Bond in 1987, almost 20 years before Daniel Craig did it. And I think now it will be much more appreciated with Daniel Craig's success in the role. I think it's worth a revisit.
And I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, well, take my word for it. We should pop it in and watch it. It's pretty good. Another thing I want to recommend is, if you're interested in James Bond, my friends at the podcast called The Hollywood Saloon did 3 episodes on James Bond covering all 21 movies up to Casino Royale. Dr. No to Casino Royale with behind-the-scenes stuff, their impressions about the stunts, and all that kind of stuff. So I really think if you're interested in James Bond, give them a listen. They're worth it. Their podcast can be found at www.hollywoodsaloon.com, and you can find these episodes in their archive section. So that's our review of Quantum of Solace.
Thank you very much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. And we have a little piece of news. We now have an email address that where you can reach us if you have any comments or questions.
The address is show@nowplayingpodcast.com. So this is Brock.
And this is Alicia.
And thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you real soon.
Now Playing is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Now Playing will return.